happening in our midst. God is moving like never before, and God uses people to carry His message of hope and salvation to the lost and to the hurting. And right now is our time to rise up. We cannot wait another till things are better, or till you got time is slower, or you're not working as many hours, or till you're making more money, or you can't wait for the circumstances to be perfect. If you wait till the circumstances are perfect, you'll never do anything for God. Amen. You got to do it whether you're sick or whether you're okay, whether you're broke or whether you got some money. You got to do it. You got to do it now. Amen. So a willing vessel. The word vessel in the dictionary means a craft traveling on water, maybe like a ship, you know. Usually one larger than just an ordinary rowboat or something like that, like maybe a big ship, a cargo ship maybe. It also means a person regarded as a holder, a receiver of something, especially something that's non-material. So it could mean a ship, a big vessel, okay? And it also means a container or something that holds something like liquid, maybe a bowl, a vessel, maybe even a cup or a glass. That vessel you use to get that, you know, false anointing in the morning. Amen. Come on, somebody. That $7.50 one from that in the little cup with the little lady and the green lady. Amen. Hello, somebody. Don't you look at me and say, oh, why are they asking for offering? You know it's Christmas time. They're asking for an offering. Oh, you tell that to Starbucks. Next time you roll up and say, that'll be $39.44, sir. I'm like, what? Say, everybody got a five? What do you want? What do you want? Well, I want a, man, there's some names on there thing. There's some names on that. I'm like, I have to say, just text it. Here. This is what they need. When I make the run, you know what I mean? But it's a container, anything that holds something. And you're a container. You hold something. You're a vessel. You hold something precious. Huh? The Bible also describes it as somebody like a person that God uses. Amen? And among vessels, there are some that are useful and that are not useful. Huh? Would you like to be a vessel used by God? Do you want to be a vessel? Amen? The Lord wants to work through you, like the song says. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. Then if you want to be a vessel, then some things we got to talk about this morning real quick. Because, man, once you get a hold of it, there's going to be a certain drive inside of you, a drive that won't let it go, something inside of you that's going to say, I can't shake this off. It'll consume you. You'll dream about it. All you'll do is talk about it. You'll say, you know what? I've been filled up for a specific reason. I don't just exist just to be here and punch a clock every day and go home and the same thing goes every for 20, 30, 40 years. No, I know that whatever God has put inside of me is like fire shot up in my bones. It's something inside of me that is passionate. When I see a soul, did it move you to see those little kids? You should have seen them as they came. He said, thank you. And they were so moved, the moms, the dads. Some of the people told me this yesterday. They said, this is, you know what, thank you so much. I go, thank you, Jesus. I go, no, thank you guys so much, because we couldn't afford to buy this for Christmas. We were going to have a Christmas. Some of them didn't have trees. They don't have nothing. Yet, here we go out there with just a simple toy. Just a simple little toy changed their whole life yesterday. Man, they're so full of joy. But then, oh, to be able to minister and pray for them. Even I kind of caught one of the brothers in the home that's real quiet, never talks very much. And I looked over like that, and I told Brother Durham was me. I go, look over there. And there he was, and he had a guy over there praying from his hand. He just praying over him. I go, that guy don't even talk. That's a good sign right there. He knows how to pray, though. He can lead somebody to Jesus. That means he's learning something in the home, amen? My God, Brother Michael, I couldn't believe it. I looked over and I thought it was about four or five other guys. I thought for sure he might do that. It was him. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now follow with me. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will fall upon you, and power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, will also conceive a son in her old age. And this is now in the sixth month of her who is called barren. How many know when God's doing a miracle in your life, he's often doing a miracle in somebody else just to show you, hey, hold on. You're not the only one that has need, and you're not the only one that I can do a miracle through. He says at verse 37, he says, for with God nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 38. Out of all the characters in the Bible, we find that Mary was one of the ones that had some of the greatest faith. For she could have tried and said, break it down to me. I want proof. I don't understand. And you know how some of us can be like that. We want to know exactly line upon line and precept upon precept. There are some things that ain't nobody going to be able to explain to you. The Word of God is going to be there, and you can't break it down in the Hebrew. You can't break it down in the Greek. You just got to believe it for what it says. And that was Mary. She was a willing vessel. It didn't matter if she could understand it. She believed that God was able to do it, and he would do it, and that was enough for her. There's something about being in the presence of God that when God speaks, it's just enough for you. You don't have to be questioning God and questioning people all the time. It's enough for you when God says, stay in that home. It's enough for you to say, stay in that marriage. It's enough for you when he says, give that tithe. It's enough for you when you say, you know what? Get up at 3 a.m. and pray. Well, why? The Bible says, you know what? No, you just got to say, I just got to do what God says. Look what he says. He said, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Luke begins his whole gospel record with the story of two conception miracles. Two miracles. Two women who by all human standards could never have children. A woman who was barren and old who could never have children. And now she's old, possibly in her maybe 80s. Huh? Imagine that, getting pregnant at 80. And then a virgin being impregnated. Go ahead and save that drama for your mama, because we all know, you know how people see the virgin. Yeah, right. And that's what they did. Hebrews are no different. The Hebrew people at that point are no different than us right here. They're all going to say, what? She's a virgin? No. Her and Joseph been sneaking off. Come on now. They were talking like that. You know they were. Elizabeth, who was barren, was somewhere, like I said, close to her 80s. Or maybe in her 80s. Never been able to have children. Way past the childbearing capacity or capability. And yet with her husband, Zacharias, who was also past the capability, they conceived and she carried in her womb the great prophet John the Baptist. One of the greatest prophets, if not the greatest prophet of all. Because how many know it just gets better and better and better and better? And he was like the prophet coming, you know what I mean, the forerunner of the Messiah. And so the second narrative is about a young girl, maybe 13 years old or so, who became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God created life in her womb without a man involved. You see, two pregnant women, two miracle mothers, two miracle children, One is old, married for many years, childless and barren. The other is young, having never been married and a virgin. And the one who was in her 80s, one in her early teens. And think about it, they happen to be related to each other. They have been both chosen to be vessels by God, human instruments for the birth of two very, very important and unusual men. They thought the Messiah was going to come with a mighty sword in his hand and cut down all the opposing forces of Israel. But instead, he came as a lamb to the slaughter, to go to the cross and die a humiliating and excruciating death that all the world might be saved. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet who ever lived up until that time, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, these two conception miracles, these two miracles in the womb of the two women, man, all of a sudden they launch a whole movement of messianic miracles, one after the other. Like Jesus comes onto the scene at a certain age, and who does he meet up with? John the Baptist, his cousin. And he heard John the Baptist was down at the river baptizing everybody. He said, I got to be baptized too. Right after the baptism, the Bible says it was like the Holy Spirit fell upon him. And before you know it, and that's when his public ministry started. Before you know it, the devil tried to hit him. But when the devil tried to hit him, how many know God hits back? He hit the devil back with the word of God and with the truth, because the truth always prevails. And before you know it, man, Jesus was on the scene healing the sick, the blind, the maimed, the lonely, the brokenhearted, those who were dead. He was raising the dead back to life, miracle after miracle, feeding thousands of people out of nothing, what seemed like nothing. But how many know when God has a little something in his hand, he can do much. And you better understand something, that if that's the attributes of God, if that's the characteristics of God, it doesn't matter if you just got a little in your hand. If you got a little faith goes a long way. If you got a little bit of hope, a little bit of hope goes a long way. If you got just a little bit of money, a little bit of money goes in the hands of God, he can do impossible things that are man impossible, but not impossible with God. Huh? The whole miraculous coming of Christ begins with these two conception miracles. Look at the lineage of these two. Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're both of the order. He's a priest of the order of Abijah, which happens to be of the lineage of Aaron, the original priests. There's a connection here. Because Mary is also from the line of David, who the priests of Abijah were also. And I think 8 generations back, David's priests were these same priests. Think, King David, think about how it's all tied together. Nothing's coincidence. Nothing. And so Zechariah has been waiting. You remember, he's been holding down the fort and the priest doing the priestly duties. And he's been holding down the fort. And what's crazy, I'm not going to go into it too much later on in a little bit, but what's crazy is that when he's told that he's going to have, he does the same thing almost like Sarah did. Like, I don't think so. And what happens? The Bible says that he goes deaf and mute, can't hear and can't speak. Until that baby's born. Huh? God's doing something. See, John the Baptist would be the prophet that was waited for. And he was of that long lineage of the priest of Aaron and the same order of the priest of David's time. Like I said, John the Baptist would be a forerunner. And here he comes on the scene. Now Mary has a miracle in her womb also. Elizabeth has the miracle in her womb already. I feel with all my heart that we have a miracle in our womb here in Victory Outreach Albuquerque. I feel like something's about to birth. I feel like some of you that have been holding on to that baby. You know, some of you ladies, you held on to that baby till the 9th month, the last day you were holding on to it. And you, like, some have it early, but some of you are holding on. That baby wouldn't come. I remember my wife when she was pregnant. She couldn't, man. She'd be waiting. Sometimes it'd be right away. And other times, sometimes they'd just be waiting. And we'd be waiting for weeks sometimes. With our third daughter, we waited for 2 weeks. She was in labor. She was trying to get that baby for 2 weeks. And it was tough, man. All kinds of things happened. They had her on one of those stationary bikes. What do you call those? Oh, stationary bike. Okay. Yeah. So they had her on that thing. She was riding that thing and they'd all kinds of stuff. She was so frustrated, man. She was so frustrated. She just, yeah. I'm not going to go there. Amen. But I feel like some of you got a miracle in your womb. And if you'll just say yes to God, if you'll just hold on, if you'll just wait on the Lord, the Bible says those who wait upon the Lord they're not gonna have to worry. If you wait upon the Lord, your youth is gonna be restored, like you're gonna be renewed. Everything about you is gonna be new, and boom, there goes the miracle. But if you sit around and question God, you don't wanna be like Zechariah laughing at God, mocking God. Listen, he had waited all those years believing for the Messiah, all those years, and when it comes, he mocks the Lord. Aren't you glad God didn't kill him? I bet you he was glad God didn't kill him. I'm glad. He's probably glad God didn't strike him down. He said, you know what he did? He just let him be quiet for a little bit. He said, you ain't going to talk about nothing, and we're not going to let you hear nothing for a little while. I'll tell you what, this is what we're going to do. You know what, ears are stopped up because I don't want you hearing no nothing from anybody. Anybody, no kind of negativity. And I don't want you saying nothing for right now because you know what, everything you say is not good. See, if you got a miracle in your womb, you ought to be rejoicing and saying, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Listen, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm here waiting. Some of you are in your ninth month. I said, I feel like you got a miracle in your son's about to turn. He's about to get saved. Your daughter is about to say yes to the Lord. Don't you give up right now. Don't let your pain and your circumstances stop you from giving the birth to the miracle. Listen, you ladies have had children. You know what I'm talking about. Man, you can't. There's no turning back. Once the doctor says, well, it'll be any time now. No, I don't want to. I don't want. You can't do that no more. That baby's coming. It's coming. And whether it don't matter what you say. Push through the pain. And give birth to something great. You know what they say? Push. Push. Right? Well, I'm saying push. Push through it. Just push through it for a little bit longer. This is going to take faith, man. It took faith for Mary and for Elizabeth to hear the Lord and to obey God. And you got that kind of faith? Do you want to be a willing vessel? Huh? Sometimes people don't have that kind of faith. I understand. Sometimes, man, I speak to the guys. I'm telling them, we're going to do this, man. We're going to do that. They're looking at me like, all right. And then I go home and say, what did I just say? My wife goes, you were talking a lot of big faith. My God. Ooh, boy. You better pray, brother. I'll pray with you because you're going to need double prayer on that one. We're going to do this, man. And we're going to, you know. And here's a young teenager who just simply believed God and wanted to serve him. That's all. Simple. Just a pure, young teenager, an original gang girl, a real deal gang girl, not a player, not a gamer. She was a real deal gang girl leader. And she just said yes to God. She did Passion for Purity, and she meant it. She said yes. Simple. She was not this elaborate prophetess that walked around saying, one day God's going to use me. She was humble in her little house just doing her duties. And the angel of the Lord appeared to her. She says, Mary, you found favor with God. And she's like, what kind of a greeting is this? Like, what are you talking about? Really? And this young teenager, her faith took her beyond her natural limits. What is it that has stopped you from believing that God can do what he's promised? What is it that stops you from taking you, the strength that it takes, the faith that it takes to take you past those natural limits? You see, you'll never see the supernatural until you allow God to test you a little bit, to allow God to push you a little bit, and those circumstances, just so you can put a little little past, just a little baby step past it, and then see what God has in the supernatural. What is it that you have not seen answered? So you've given up. See, God always gives an answer to prayer. Always. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says wait. But he always gives an answer to prayer. What situation seems so impossible that you've decided not to pray about it anymore? You've thrown your hands up, said, okay. See, nothing could have seemed more impossible than Gabriel's message to Mary. My goodness, man. She just simply submitted to God. She obeyed the Lord. The baby was already, that moment, boom. The Spirit of God fell on her. She was pregnant in the Spirit. Some of you pregnant in the Spirit. Mary had a miracle in her womb. I feel you got a miracle in your womb. By definition, miracles are beyond human explanation. They are hard to understand and even harder to believe. And after 2,000 some years, we tend to forget how strange it must have been. Joseph didn't understand it at first. He was like tripping, like I said, who's been coming around this house? Who's been around? His mind, you know, the jealousy, the misunderstanding of the flesh. That's why he intended to give her a private divorce. Evidently, he assumed that she had been unfaithful. It wasn't until the angel himself had to come and appear to him and afford him in a dream that he could accept the truth. And see, Mary didn't understand it either. Here in Luke chapter 1, it makes it very clear that she was completely baffled and just like tripping, man, and saying, my goodness, she was even scared a little bit. Can you imagine that? The angel of the Lord just appearing, the angel of the Lord appearing to you at 13 years old and just tripping out, like fear came upon her. Like, what is this? But that announcement that he made was the greatest announcement in all the world, in all time. Amen. He declared there's something that God has placed inside of you that he wants to use to impact your family, your community, and your world. And today I am declaring the same thing for you in the name of Jesus. There's something inside of you that God wants to use. He wants you to be a vessel so that you can impact your family, your community, this nation, and the whole world. Katrina would have never thought from Hispaniola, a little heroin addict, that she could come to the home, get delivered, go to the UTC, and now be helping birth one of the greatest churches in Europe. Sitting right there, she's probably tripping, saying, how in the world did I get here? If you would have told her when she was 2 days in the home, there's something inside of you, and one day she would have said, oh, I can't believe this. Gabriel's amazing announcement changed the world. Let me tell you this little story real quick. It's cool. It's about Mary. I've said something different, like one like it. But it was coming up to Christmas, and little Johnny asked his mom if he could have an Xbox, the latest one. So she told him that the best idea would be for her, for him to ask, to write a letter to Santa Claus and ask him to Mike Regal. Amen. And so, but everybody's going to write you letters now, Mike. And say, okay. So Johnny went in his room, and he goes inside his room, and he writes, Dear Jesus, I have been very good. I've been a good boy. I'd like to have a bike for Christmas, like a new bike, the kind I want. And then he tells like this. He says, but he wasn't very happy when he read it over, so he decided to try it again. He says, Dear Jesus, I'm good. I'm a good boy most of the time, and I really, really want an Xbox is what I want, not a bike. Okay, I'm going to be honest. So he reads it back, and he wasn't happy with that one either. So his third version, he says, Jesus, I could be a good boy if I tried hard enough, and especially if I had a brand new Xbox. So he read it, that one too. He still wasn't satisfied. So he decided to go out for a walk. While he was out, he thought of a better approach. After a short time, he approached a neighbor's house. He passed by it first, and he approached it. And they had a small little area where they had a statue of the Virgin Mary in the front of the garden. So he crept in there, stuffed the statue under his coat, hurried home, and hid it under his bed. Then he wrote this letter. He said, "Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mom again, you better send me that Xbox, number one." See, sometimes we get in the flesh about our miracle. You got a miracle in your womb. Don't try to push beyond it. Amen. That song that, that powerful song, wasn't it powerful last week when Larry and Siobhan sang that song, "Mary, Did You Know?" "Mary, did you know that your baby boy will someday walk on water?" And they were singing it right there, and I was just like, man, thinking about Jesus and how he was. The lyrics say, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby has come to make you new? This child you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm in his hand, with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels walk, and when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God? The blind will see, and the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, and the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy, the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am." And I thought, that song is so powerful. And I think about the lyrics of that song. I think, man, who this baby that we're celebrating, not just this week, but all year long. Christmas is about Jesus being conceived in you. An explosion of love in his heart, in your heart. It's about Jesus growing in you and delivering and Jesus to the world, to the world around you, your neighbors. Do your neighbors know about this love? Because this is where Christmas starts. And this Christmas starts with a love story, and that's where love starts. God had chosen Mary to be a vessel. She was a willing vessel. She was a useful vessel. And God has chosen you to carry this miracle to a hurting world. Are you willing? Would you come to the keyboard, please? Are you willing? What was it that God saw in Mary? The same thing he looks for us. Number one, he looks for purity and holiness. Purity, just a pure mind, a simple, pure mind and a heart. It's so hard in this life that we live in because of the flesh, her purity, her innocence, are clearly revealed in her words when she says, "How will this be," Mary said, "since I am a virgin?" I think this is one of the strongest evidences there. Amen? And imagine the angel saying to you, and you saying it back to him, proclaiming, saying, "You know what? I have a pure mind, a pure body. How can this be?" She wasn't doubting like Zechariah, her uncle. The angel answered, and that answer stretched her faith. Look what it says in verse 35, 36, 37. "And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will fall upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And then he says, "You're not alone. God's doing another miracle in your auntie, in Elizabeth." See, Mary responds about her physical, but God was also talking about her spiritual heart. We see that Mary had a pure heart. That's what God looks for in you. Just have a pure heart. Start over. The Bible says all things are new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and he said that. He says, you know what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Brand new creation. When you're born again, you start all over again. Second thing he looked for integrity. See, God trusted her. Did God trust you? Huh? The late Zig Ziglar said this: "With integrity, you have nothing to fear, since you have nothing to hide. With integrity, you will do the right thing, so you will have no guilt." So integrity is when what you do, who you are, what you say, what you feel, and what you think all come from the same place. It's looking for integrity. Mary had integrity. She had purity. Thirdly, she knew how to push past her feelings at 13 years old. That's why our youth ministry, the gang, God's Anointed Now Generation, they teach our young ladies and our young boys to be pure, to be pure, so that way they have no excuses to say, well, I don't even know, like they do. Because we have a whole bunch of leaders, women leaders, that have been down that tough road, and they can teach them. We have a whole bunch of leaders, the youth and guys, that have been down that road, that can teach the young warriors to stay pure. We teach you to be pure from this pulpit. She knew how to push past her feelings. You have to learn how to push past your feelings. But I love him. You don't even know him. Let that boy get some fruit first before you love him. That's what I love. That's just words I preach to my daughters. It's like, what? So you love him. Who can't even grow a muscle? I'm getting the flesh now. Let me get back. Come back. She knew how to push. Anyone under these circumstances would have questioned and even buckled under the pressure. She was talked about. They had to send her off to live with her aunt and uncle. Mary knew that there was something inside of her that would change the world, that something was the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the one who had been prophesied would come one day. And oh, it was powerful how she was able to push past her. Come on, somebody. She left. Huh? She left when she was 9 months pregnant. Apparently, just before John was born. So there she comes all pregnant, and Elizabeth's 9 months. Huh? Think about it. She left when she was... And then in verse 57, it says, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, so she brought forth a son. So she went, and when she was 6 months pregnant, she left just before the birth of John, 3 months later. So she couldn't have wasted any time. Listen, if she was going to get there, stay 3 months, get home before the child was born, she had to have gotten there in the 6th month, which means she had to have gone immediately. She rose up. Come on, somebody. And she went with haste. She didn't hold back. Listen, you got to rise up and get to that place where the miracle is going to be birthed. And quit tripping and quit asking questions. You see, in order to give birth to the miracle that's inside of you, you must master the art of pushing past your feelings. Push through the pain and give birth through something great. Listen, Mary had a miracle in her womb. I believe you have a miracle in your womb. Don't you try to prematurely deliver that miracle. You wait for the natural birth. You wait for God's supernatural birth to come upon your life and watch what God does. Fourthly, Mary accepted the assignment, the call of God in her life. Some of you have been running from the call of God all year long. She was willing. A simple 13-year-old girl was willing. When the Lord calls, when the Lord calls us to a specific assignment, to the task that God has given us, we have to accept it. Mary was young, simple. She didn't let anything stand in the way of her assignment. Huh? Joseph had to also accept the assignment. Joseph had every right to doubt in his flesh. But after the encounter with the Lord in his dream, come on, somebody. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, verse 23 says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. What's standing in the way of your assignment? There's no greater gift that you can give to the Lord than to answer the call of God. Fifth and last one is said, release. There came a time where Mary had to learn how to release Jesus into his assignment. She had to give him to the world. She had to give him. We've all been challenged to release what's in our hand. Our greatest abilities, our gifts, our giving, everything. Next week, when we pick up our Christmas offering, make sure you're the first one to say, I want to release what's in my hand. I need my miracle. See, God has chosen. Jesus didn't start in that stable. He existed before creation. Come on, somebody. We look at him as a little baby started right there. He existed way before. That's why we can never separate the cradle and the cross. His coming into the world truly makes a difference in our lives. We need to connect that cradle and that cross. There's only one reason why he came. One reason, and one reason that baby was born. That was because he was destined for the cross. He came to the cradle so that he might have a view of where the cross would be at. And that's where that little voice inside of him, as his father said, there's your assignment. Do it and do it well. A little voice might be telling you that God doesn't care about you, that he's forgotten about you. You've blown it, but I want you to know that little baby's cry in the manger tells us that he went to a cross and died for us. And a grown Savior proved that his love was just for you as he shed his blood for every sin you've ever committed and every sin that any person, any human has ever committed. See, Christmas is where love starts. Jesus in that manger is where love starts. Oh, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. He said in his word right after that, he said, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the lost, to save the world. See, that virgin birth was never meant to stand alone. It's not some random truth that's plucked from thin air. God never says, pick and choose what you want to believe. This is the plan. This is the only plan for redemption. It is the only, I know there's a lot of people telling you to do this and do that, but the only plan for redemption is the cradle to the cross. The cross and his shed blood and taken to a empty tomb and sealed, and on the third day that seal being broken only by the Spirit of God, and him raising from the dead, and is ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day, my friend, the eastern skies are going to break open. One day Jesus is going to come, and the Bible says first the dead in Christ shall rise, and then those who remain alive shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. That's the God we're talking about. That's the God that we believe in. That's the Savior of the world where love starts. Can we still believe in the virgin birth? Yes, we can. We can and we must. For unless we see the cross at Calvary, we cannot hear the gospel at the crib of Bethlehem. Come on, everybody, eyes closed. Nobody moving around, please. Just close your eyes. Nobody looking around. I want you to think about this time of the year. I believe with all of my heart that God is calling us to a higher calling, to minister to the lost. I believe that that God is looking for vessels. He's looking for vessels that will be willing vessels that God can speak through, that God can use in our families, in our workplace, in our church, in the streets of Albuquerque, and who knows, like Katrina, maybe all around the world. Right there where you're at, as your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask them to sing this song just a couple of times through. Just close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Nobody walking around. Just stay right there. Come on, everybody, say Jesus.
Wanna be more like you.
I wanna be a vessel.
Wanna be a vessel that you want. Oh, wanna be more like you.
Oh, sing with us.
I wanna be more like you,
Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you
are. I want to be more.
One more time, everybody sing. I want.
I want to be more like you,
Jesus.
I want to be more like you.
Oh, I want to be.
I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be.
as they sing this song, I want to open up this altar for those of you that say, I want to be a vessel for God. I want to be a vessel in my family. I want to be a vessel in my city, in my nation. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to learn how to push past my limitations. I want to learn how to be pushed past my feelings and my circumstances. Right now, today, oh, I want that anointing right now in my life to be a vessel, a useful vessel, a willing vessel.